إن الحمد لله نحمده ونستعينه ونستغفره ونعوذ بالله من شرور أنفسنا ومن سيئات أعمالنا من يهده الله فلا مضل له ومن يضلل فلا هادي له وأشهد أن لا إله إلا الله وحده لا شريك له وأشهد أن محمدا عبده ورسوله عليكم السلام. Verily the praise belongs to Allah. We praise Him, seek His assistance and forgiveness, and we seek refuge in Allah from the evil of ourselves and the evil consequences of our deeds. Whoever Allah guides, there is no one that can lead him astray, and whoever Allah leads astray, there is no one that can guide him. I bear witness that nothing deserves to be worshipped except Allah alone, and that He has no partners or associates. And I bear witness that Muhammad sallallahu alayhi wa sallam is his slave servant and his messenger. I'd like to begin this afternoon by first thanking Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for our safe return, and also extending the greetings of salamu alaykum from the brothers who, so many of them who we met on our trip to Riyadh, particularly to Medina and Mecca, but most of the time was spent in Riyadh. And alhamdulillah, it was a good opportunity to meet many of the Muslims there who are non-Arabic speaking people in a number of the various dawah centers, and to see some of the activities of our brothers there and the efforts that they are making to call people to Islam and to teach the Muslims the correct way. Many of those brothers send their salams to you, and we hope that inshallah there will be a chance at some point for some of you, when you are traveling there, to meet some of those brothers who we met during this past month. The topic that I want to discuss this afternoon, bi-idhnillahi ta'ala, and perhaps in the next one or two lectures, it is the position or the view that the believer, the mu'min, has concerning sickness. Yani, what is the view that we as Muslims, as believers, have concerning sickness if we are afflicted by some kind of illness, disease, or ill health, or anyone who is near to us? What is our view of sickness? What is the Muslim's view of sickness, and how should we understand it? The first thing we always remember and remind ourselves, that whatever happens in this world, whether it is good or bad, it is from the qadr of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. It is what Allah has decreed, and we accept it as a believer. We accept it, we submit to it, and we are pleased with whatever Allah has decreed for us. And from amongst those things that we may experience in this life are those things which we dislike. Those difficulties or hardships, calamities or sickness or suffering that we experience as a part of our life in this world. And we should know and understand, what is the position of a Muslim, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has instructed us in the Quran, and as the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam has made us to understand in those authentic hadith which have been transmitted to us from his companions radiallahu anhum ajma'een through the generations until it reached us today. From the verses of Quran, and there are many which are relevant to this topic, is the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Baqarah, chapter 2, verse 155, وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ وَنَقْسٍ مِنَ الْأَمْوَالِ وَالْأَنْفُسِ وَالثَّمَرَاتِ وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says that definitely we will test you or try you. وَلَنَبْلُوَنَّكُمْ بِشَيْءٍ مِنَ الْخَوْفِ وَالْجُوعِ ونقص من الأموال والأنفس والثمرات. That we will definitely test you and try you. You will be tested and tried with something of al-khawf, fear, and al-jur, hunger, wa-naqsin, and also some loss of wealth and lives and the fruits of our labor. The trials in this life are many. No one is excused from them, of one type or another, whether it is the test of fear from the enemy, those who want to cause harm to us, or the trial or test of hunger, drought or famine in the land, or the condition of any individual who is unable to provide themselves with sufficient sustenance to sustain themselves, or the loss of lives, loss of health, of one's children or loved ones, companions or neighbors or oneself. All of these are tests and trials that we are guaranteed by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala to pass through. We must experience something of these tests. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says, وَبَشِّرِ الصَّابِرِينَ. But give good news to those who are patient in the face of these difficulties or trials or hardships. And particularly, what we want to talk about this afternoon is sickness, the trial of sickness. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has tested His servants with sickness of various types of disease, sicknesses, illnesses, or lack of good health. And yet, many of those who are tested with these trials, maybe it's not turned on. They need to turn the switch on in whatever room they're in. Many of those who are tested with these trials, in spite of the fact of the difficulty and hardship of what they are experiencing, they remain amongst those who are ذاكرون, remembering Allah, شاكرون, thankful to Allah, صابرون, patient with what Allah has tested them with, and muhtasibun, of those who are hoping for the reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Maybe someone has done something with this, I don't know. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam informed us of that which makes us to know of the importance of a believer accepting what Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala has decreed for them of trials and tests, sickness or otherwise, in the hadith in which he made us to know that whatever a Muslim experiences in this world, it is good for him. It is good for the one who accepts Allah's decree, submits to it, is pleased with it, and patient or thankful for whatever they experience, then Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will make it rewardable for them. He said in the hadith that has been collected by Al-Imam Muslim, rahimahullah, عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ, that the affair of a believer is amazing. عَجَبًا لِأَمْرِ الْمُؤْمِنِ إِنَّ أَمْرَهُ كُلَّهُ لَهُ خَيْرٌ, that verily his affair, the whole of it is khair, all of it is good. Whatever happens to a believer, it is good for him, no matter what. وَلَيْسَ ذَلِكَ لِأَحَدٍ إِلَّا لِلْمُؤْمِنِ, and this is not so for anyone except for the believer. Yani the whole of the affair of the believer is good for him. Whatever happens to him, it is good for him. And this is not so except for the believer. إِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ سَرَّاءُ شَكَرَ فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ, that if good comes to him, if good befalls him, then he is thankful. This is the attitude of the believer, that whenever any good comes to them, they are thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, because we know that all good is from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So if he is thankful, then that which he experiences of goodness or pleasure or that which he likes, it will be good for him. Not only the experience of good in this world, but more importantly, it will be good for him in the next life. وَإِنْ أَصَابَتْهُ دَرَّاءُ صَبَرًا فَكَانَ خَيْرًا لَهُ. And if any hardship or calamity or difficulty befalls him, that which he dislikes, صبرا, then he is patient, knowing that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is testing him by some trial or difficulty or hardship. He is being tested and he is expected to be patient, to submit to what Allah has decreed, to accept the test of Allah patiently and to be pleased with Allah's decree, and therefore he will be rewarded. It will be good for him. In another narration of this hadith that's reported in the Sunan of Ad-Darimi and the Musnad of Imam Ahmed, and it is also an authentic narration, the wording of the hadith is slightly different. He said, "In asabahu ma yuhab hamid Allah wa kana lahu khair." That if something befalls him that he loves, he praises Allah. Yani whenever something happens that you love, that you are pleased with, then you praise Allah. Then it will be good for you. It will be good for him. وَإِنْ أَصَابَهُ مَا يُكْرَهُ فَصَبَرَ كَانَ لَهُ خَيْرًا. And when that which he hates or dislikes befalls him, then he is patient and it will be good for him. So from this hadith, we understand that whatever happens in this life, it's either of that which, of those things which are good or those things which are bad, that which we love or that which we hate. In any case, if that which is good befalls us, we are expected to thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala and praise Him. And if that which we dislike befalls us, we are expected to be patient. And the one who does so, wa alaykum salam, will be rewarded by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for thanking Him, as well as enjoying the good what Allah has given them. They will get the reward for being thankful. And if any affliction befalls them, then they are patient and they will get the reward for their patience. There's no doubt about the fact that something that might be considered by the human being as being a ni'mah, a bounty, or something good, sometimes that which is considered to be good actually can cause harm to the person. Yani perhaps if a person became wealthy and they don't know how to handle it, it will be a problem for them. It won't be good, but it will be something bad for them. If a person, for example, eats too much food, food is generally considered to be good, but if you eat too much of it, it can cause harmful effects. So that even sometimes that which we consider to be good, if it isn't used properly, then it can cause harm to us, while at the same time being deprived of something that is considered to be good might be beneficial to us. Being deprived sometimes of status or position in the society or power or authority, that being deprived of it may be good for us, because if we were given authority or power in the land, perhaps we would abuse it and it would be harmful to us. For this reason, the Muslim is always considerate of whatever befalls them in this world. Is it something good or is it something bad? And ultimately, we know that whenever something good is given to us, we should be thankful. And if we are denied it, we should be patient, because Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, in His wisdom, He gives us that good or He holds it back from us according to His wisdom. Therefore, we accept that Allah is the best knower and He is all wise. And if He gives us good, we try to show our gratitude by using it properly in the way that Allah wants us to use it, and thanking Allah for it and praising Him. And if He withholds it from us or cause any harm or calamity or affliction to befall us, we are patient and we accept it as a test from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran in Surah Al-Baqarah chapter 2 verse 216, in verses related to jihad, after the Muslims were prohibited from fighting in jihad due to their weakness and small numbers, later on, after the hijrah to Medina and the increase of the numbers of the Muslims and strengthening of the Muslims, jihad became obligatory on them. And some of the people, as is the nature of the human being, of course, are not anxious to go in jihad. They are not anxious to go and put their life on the line to be killed. So some people looked at jihad as being something distasteful, something that they didn't like. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in these verses, and it is general, it's not only for jihad, but we are using it in the general sense, though it was revealed in reference to jihad, he said, وَعَسَىٰ أَن تَكْرَهُ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ خَيْرٌ لَكُمْ. Perhaps you will hate, dislike, or detest something that is good for you. It was in reference to jihad, but it's in reference to anything in this world that Allah decrees for us. Maybe making 5 prayers a day, getting up at 4 o'clock in the morning for Fajr, or fasting from dawn until sunset. Some people may dislike it. It may be a hardship for them. But even though you might dislike it, when Allah decrees something for you, know that it is good for you. وَعَسَىٰ أَن تُحِبُّ شَيْئًا وَهُوَ شَرٌّ لَكُمْ. And perhaps you will love a thing while it is shar, it is evil for you, not good for you. Though you like it and you want it, but it's not good for you. So when Allah decrees something for us, even though we may dislike it, or we may find difficulty in it, we should know that it is good for us. And even there are some things which we might love, and it might not be good for us. وَاللَّهُ يَعْلَمُ وَأَنْتُمْ لَا تَعْلَمُونَ. And Allah is the one who knows, while you do not know. So goodness in a thing, or evil, it is in accordance with Allah's wisdom. Allah knows best what is good for us and what is evil for us, and whatever He has decreed for us or ordered us to do, we should know that it is good for us, though our desires or our passions or ourselves, our inner selves, may find difficulty in it. We should know what Allah has decreed for us is good, and what Allah has prohibited us, it is because it is evil, though we may love it. And this is indicated in a hadith of the Prophet ﷺ that's reported in the Sahih of Muslim on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu. He said, حُفَّتْ الْجَنَّةُ بِالْمَكَارِي. That the Jannah has been completely surrounded by distasteful things, things that you dislike. And those things are primarily the things that you have to do to get into paradise. In order to get into paradise, you have to pass through those things. Those things you might find difficult, makari, something that you dislike, it's makruh, to yourself, to your lower self, but actually it is the way to paradise. وَحُفَّتْ النَّارُ بِالشَّهَوَاتِ. And the hellfire has been surrounded by desires and passions, temptations, lust. These are the things that you are inclined towards, but they are actually the way to the hellfire. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made us to know that there are things which perhaps we dislike, but it is good for us. And it is that which He has surrounded the paradise with, and we have to do them in order to get in. While there are things that we might love, which is not good for us, we may be inclined towards, our passions may be inclined towards, but those are the things which Allah has prohibited, and they are actually the road or the way to the hellfire. So that which is good for us, or that which is not good for us, it is in accordance with the wisdom of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Whatever He has ordered us with, we should do it, knowing that it is good for us, and Allah knows best, and whatever He has prohibited us from, we should leave it, knowing that it is not good for us. Sickness, illness, disease, it is something that usually, in the nature of the human being, you are not pleased with, you dislike it. But actually, the perspective of the believer concerning sickness is different than the perspective of the disbeliever. The believer should know that sickness or illness or disease, it is something good for you, and Allah only decreed it to help you. It is good for you, though there is inconvenience in it, but in fact it is good for us. This is the attitude of the believer, and this is what we want to talk about today and in the next few lectures concerning the view of sickness specifically, and any type of calamity that we experience in this world in general. What is our view of sickness, the view of the believer? The topics that we, or the points that we want to cover concerning this topic, it is the view of the world and the pleasures of this world, and how they are just passing away, that they don't have any permanent reality. And when we understand this, that the pleasures of this world have no permanent reality, that they are vanishing, that the enjoyment of this world are things that just pass away, it helps us to have a proper view on sickness and that which we are denied due to our sickness of the pleasures of this world. Also the fact that tests and trials, that when a person is tested by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in this world, and they are given patience to bear that test, patiently, knowing that it is from Allah, that it is actually a sign that Allah loves them. Yani the fact that you are tested and tried is a sign of Allah's love. When the person who is tested accepts the test, recognizes that it's from Allah, submits to it and is patient with it, it's a sign of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for that person. When Allah loves someone, He tests them. Also, that being tested, it is the road or the way to paradise. Yani the way to paradise is through tests and trials. There's no other way to get into paradise except that you are tested and tried. And Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala promised us in the Quran, أَحَسِبَ النَّاسِ أَن يُتْرَكُوا أَن يَقُولُوا آمَنَّا وَهُمْ لَا يُفْتَنُونَ. Do the people think that they will be left alone on saying they believe and they will not be tested and tried? Do you think that when you said you believe, you will not be tested or tried? For sure you will definitely be tested and tried. The test and trials from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala is the road to paradise. Also, the ongoing or continuous reward of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that a person is given as a gift from Allah due to their sickness. When Allah tests someone with sickness, then He gives them an extra reward due to their sickness, if they are patient and accept it as being from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Also the fact, when a person is sick, they should know that it is a basic rule in Islam that whenever there is difficulty or hardship, there has to come ease. Whenever there's difficulty or hardship, it has to be followed, or it will contain within it ease. With difficulty comes ease. So with sickness, a person should know that there is some facility or favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that goes along with that sickness. It's not meant to cause them to go astray or to become disobedient or to be destroyed. But actually the sickness, it is a way that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala used to save those whom He loves, and an easy way for them to enter paradise, though they may not have been able to enter according to their deeds. Also, the benefits that a person gets from sickness. There are many benefits that a person will enjoy, and they can only enjoy them when they are sick. Many benefits that only the sick enjoy. And we need to know that there are benefits from sickness, so that when a person is sick, they can take advantage of them and not feel sad or feel remorse. But they should be happy for the rewards that Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give to them and the opportunities that He makes available to them due to their sickness. Also, the bounties or the ni'am of Allah that are usually missed by most people. Those things that we give up or that we allow to get away from us without getting the full benefit from them. And those bounties are only recognized when we don't have them. When we don't have health, then we recognize the bounty of health. And when we don't have spare time, we recognize the favor or the goodness of having time. And also, we should know, a believer should know, whatever their condition. And this is for every one of us, as well as for others, that we may pass it on to, that for every sickness there is a cure. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala didn't send upon the people any sickness except that there is a cure for it. Every sickness has a cure except death. And finally, we should beware of the tricks or the traps of shaitan, that when a person is sick, they are subject to the temptations of shaitan to cause them to go astray, so as not to earn the reward of sickness, but in fact to go astray and to earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala due to their misunderstanding and wrong conception of their sickness. The first issue that we want to look at, it is the issue of the things of this world, the pleasures and enjoyments of this world, that they are vanishing, that they are just passing away. The enjoyment of this world is no more than pleasures or enjoyment of deception. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَمَا هَذِهِ الحياة الدنيا إلا لهو ولعب. That the life of this world, it is no more than amusement and sport and play. The life of this world is no more than amusement and play. There is nothing serious about the life of this world. It's not serious. It is a deception. The things that we enjoy in this world are only things of deception. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةَ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ لَوْ كَانُوا يَعْلَمُونَ. And verily, الدَّارُ الْآخِرَةِ, the next life, it is the real life. The real life, it is the next life, not this world. This world is no more than لَهُ وَلَعَبْ, but it is the life of the next world that is the real life, if they only knew. This is mentioned by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Ankabut, chapter 29:64. And also the saying of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in Surah Al-Hadid, chapter 57, verse 20, اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا لعب ولهو وزينة وتفاخر بينكم وتكاثر في الأموال والأولاد. That verily know, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala ordered us to know, to pay attention to this. اعلموا أنما الحياة الدنيا, that the life of this world is no more than play and amusement and adornment and boasting amongst one another of the things that we have in this world, and the seeking or the compilation or trying to increase in wealth and children. The life of this world is no more than that. Don't take it to be any more than that. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala made it clear when he said, أَنَّمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, that verily the life of this world is these things and no more than that. لَعِبْ وَلَهُ وَزِينَ, play and amusement and adornments. وَتَفَاقُرٌ بَيْنَكُمْ, and boasting amongst one another, and تَفَاقُرٌ أو تَكَاثُرٌ, seeking the increase of wealth and children. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا إِلَّا مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ. And he ends this verse by saying, وَعَلَيْكُمْ السَّلَامُ. وَمَا الْحَيَاةُ الدُّنْيَا, and the life of this world is no more than مَتَاعُ الْغُرُورِ, it is no more than enjoyments or pleasure of deception. The life of this world, it is sport and play and amusement and adornment and boasting amongst one another of what we enjoy in this world and seeking the increase of the things of this world, of wealth and children. But the life of this world is no more than mata'al ghurur. It is pleasures of deception. And we are indeed deceived by it. We are indeed deceived by it to the extent that we devote our lives and we devote ourselves, our efforts and our energies towards seeking the things of this world, seeking the pleasures of this world and the enjoyments of this world and the increase in wealth and boasting amongst one another and zina, attraction and adornment. All of this is what we strive for, while in fact these things, as Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala said, is no more than mata'al ghurur. Mata'al ghurur. Actually, these words are very important, and it requires of us that we reflect upon it. Even if we sat now until the end of our time today reflecting on these words, it would have been beneficial to us that the things of this world are no more than mata'al ghurur, enjoyment of deception. Whatever we are striving for and giving our life to, of the things of this dunya, worldly things, it is no more than deception. But in fact, what we should be living for and striving for is al-akhirah. وَإِنَّ الدَّارَ الْآخِرَةِ لَهِيَ الْحَيَوَانِ. It is the next life that is the real life, not this world. This world is no more than deception. It is reported on the authority of Abdullah. I don't know if it is Abdullah ibn Mas'ud or Abdullah ibn Umar or which of them, رضي الله عنهم أجمعين. It is an authentic hadith reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi. He said that the Messenger of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam was sleeping on a mat, and from that mat it left the traces of the straw on his body, on his side where he was laying. He was laying on a rough mat. He didn't have a pillow or a blanket or a mattress or a bed like we are sleeping on, but he was sleeping on the floor on a mat that left the traces of that mat on his side when he got up. فَقُلْنَا يَا رَسُولَ اللَّهِ. We said, O Messenger of Allah, لَوْ اتَّخَذْنَا لَكَ وَطَعًا. Would it be okay for us to make some, spread something on the floor for you to sleep on? Something, lay something on the floor for you to sleep on so that you won't be in this condition. He said, فَقَالَ صلى الله عليه وسلم ما لي وللدنيا ما أنا في الدنيا إلا كراكب استظل تحت شجرة ثم راح وتركها. He said, there's nothing to take a rest and enjoy the shade of a tree. ثُمَّ رَاهَا وَتَرَكَهَا. Then he went on his way and left the tree and his shade behind. He said, this is the example of me in this dunya. Me and the world, the example of me in this world is like the example of a rider who's on his way someplace. And he stops for rest under the shade of a tree. And after he enjoys that shade for a small period of time, then he goes on and leaves the tree and his shade behind. This is the example, he said, of me in the dunya. I have nothing to do with it. I am just passing through this world. I just stopped here for a moment to enjoy the shade of this dunya as I go on my way, leaving it behind. This is the example that the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam gave us of his relationship to this world. This is because he knew the real status and the true nature and the lowliness and the insignificance of this dunya. He is the one who knows the reality of this world. While we ourselves are deceived by the matal ghurur, the pleasures of deception of this world. But he, that is Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, who knew well the true nature of this world, he gave this example. And in another place, also reported in the Sunan of At-Tirmidhi, and it is the Sahih Hadith, he said, لَوْ كَانَتْ الدُّنْيَا تَعَدِلُ عِنْدَ اللَّهِ جَنَاحَ بَعُودَةٍ مَا سَقَى كَافِرًا مِنْهَا شَرْبَةَ مَاءٍ. That if this dunya, the world and whatever is in it, if this world was equal in worth to the wing of a mosquito in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, if it was worth that, means it's not even worth the wing of a mosquito. If it was equal to that in worth in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, then he wouldn't even give a kafir one drink of water from this dunya. He wouldn't give them one drink of water from this dunya, if it was worth anything to him. But the dunya is not worth anything in front of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Not even equal to the wing of a mosquito. But look at how important it is to us, how we value this dunya and the things in this dunya, to the extent that we forget about the akhirah in striving and rushing and racing and seeking the things of this world. Of course, seeking the things that are necessary in order to live in this world, to sustain oneself lawfully, it is the obligation of a Muslim. No one should just disconnect themselves from the world so that they don't even work or strive to attain lawful means of sustenance. But what we mean is that things should be put in perspective. The worth of this world should be put in its perspective. And the real objective and ambition and hope of a believer, it should be the achieving of the next life. Also, in another hadith reported in Al-Bukhari, on the authority of Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhumah, may Allah be pleased with him and his father, he was told in an advice to him, and it is for all of us. And remember that Abdul ibn Umar radiallahu anhu, he was one of the best of Sahaba, one of the most learned and one of the most righteous of Sahaba, one of the most righteous and the closest of them in his behavior and actions and worship to the Prophet of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam. And the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said to him, who is better than you and I, kun fid dunya ka annaka gharib aw abiru sabilin. He said to Abdullah radiallahu anhuma, be in this world as though you are a stranger, not as though you are a permanent resident, somebody who has a place here, that you are worried about the things in it, but just as a stranger who's not worried about the houses and the trees and the streets of this land that he doesn't belong in. Be in this world, kun fid dunya ka annaka gharib, as though you are just a stranger, aw abiru sabilin, or someone who is just passing by, a traveler who's just passing by. That's how we should look at this world, that it is just a place that we are passing through. We are strangers here, just passing through. Whoever knows the reality of this world would not lose themselves in it. They would refrain and abstain from it, except to the extent that is necessary. Whoever knows the reality of this world, they would not be in love with it and fall over for it and go after it, forgetting about the reality, the real world that is Ad-Dar al-Akhirah. And whoever abstains from this world, they will find that the difficulties and hardships that we suffer in this world will be easy because you will not be attached to this world. This is the first point that we want to focus upon, that the enjoyment and pleasures of this world are fading, vanishing, passing away. Don't become attached to them. If a person understands that, then when suffering from any calamity or hardship or affliction or sickness or illness or disease, they would not be so attached to the things of this world, and they would not feel a great loss of what they are deprived of the dunya due to sickness, because they would know that even the pleasures of this world are no more than enjoyments of deception. And the second point that a believer looks at and considers in reference to sickness, so that it will be clear to us, what is our view of sickness and how a believer views sickness? It is not a punishment from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believer, for the one who knows that it is a test and they are patient with it. But in fact, it is a sign. It is one of the signs of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The one whom Allah loves, He tests them. As the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith reported by At-Tirmidhi and Ibn Majah on the authority of Anas ibn Malik radiallahu anhu, and it is a Hassan hadith, he said, "Inna عِذَمَ al-jaza'i مَعَ عِذَمْ al-bala'i." That verily the greatness of reward, it comes along with the greatness of the trial. Yani the more the reward is based on, the more one is tested. The more you are tested, the more will be your reward. Therefore, the person who is tested with sickness or disease, then they should know that the more they are tested with or afflicted with, the greater will be their reward. وَإِنَّ اللَّهَ إِذَا أَحَبَّ قَوْمًا ابْتَلَاهُمْ. And when Allah, if Allah loves the people, He tests them. The testing from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the believer, it is a sign of His love. Whenever Allah loves the people, He tests them, He tries them. He afflicts them with some hardships in this world. فَمَنْ رَضِيَ فَلَهُ الرِّضَى وَمَنْ سَخِتَ فَلَهُ السَّخَطَ. So whoever is pleased with whatever they are tested with in this world, they will have the pleasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala in the next life. And whoever is dissatisfied and displeased with what Allah has tested them with in this world, then they will earn the displeasure of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So therefore, the person who is tested and tried with illness or sickness, and that person has a good relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Yani, they have a good relationship, meaning that they have been fulfilling and they continue to fulfill the obligations which Allah has placed upon them and respect the rights of Allah over them in their behavior and their actions in every way. Then that person, Allah will grant them patience. And this patience in the face of sickness and trials, it will be a sign of goodness and a sign of the love of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. The Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam said in the hadith, which is reported by At-Tirmidhi on the authority of Anas and Abu Hurairah and other of the Sahaba radiallahu anhum ajma'in, إِذَا أَرَادَ اللَّهُ بِعَبْدِهِ خَيْرًا عَجَّلَ لَهُ الْعُقُوبَ فِي الدُّنْيَا. That whenever Allah wants good for His servant, then He hastens for them the punishment in this world. And He doesn't wait until Yawm Qiyamah, the judgment in the next life, to punish them for what they have done, but He lets them suffer some trials and tests in this world. That would be their punishment, so that in the next life they won't be punished. Whenever Allah wants good for one of His servants, then He hastens their punishment in this world. And likewise, whenever Allah wants evil for His servant, then He holds back from them. And He holds back from punishing them for their sins, so that He will give them the full punishment on Yawm Qiyamah. If we pay attention to this and consider the history of the prophets and messengers and those who came before, those who are most beloved to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, and none are closer and more beloved than the Anbiya and the Rusul, then we will see that there, the path that they traveled was the path of trials and tests and difficulties and hardship. This was the life that the prophets and messengers all experienced, some to a greater extent than others. If we look at the life of the Prophet Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam, we will see throughout his life, from childhood until his death, trials and tests and difficulties. He was being tested. And likewise the prophets before him, including Isa alayhi salam and Musa alayhi salam and so on. We can look at all of the prophets and messengers and see how they were tested one after another throughout their lives. It is reported authentically in the Sahih of Muslim, in the Musnad Imam Ahmed, on the authority of Abdul ibn Mas'ud radiallahu anhu, that he came to the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam one day while he was suffering from some sickness. Abdullah radiallahu anhu, he said, Ya Rasulullah, innaka tu'aka waqa'an shadidan, that you are suffering from a severe illness. The Prophet sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, Ajal, it is so. Inni u'aku kama yu'aku ar-rajulani minkum, that I suffer the extent or the severity of sickness like two men, like two ordinary men. And when he is sick, the sickness that he suffers is double or twice the sickness of an ordinary person. And in the hadith of Sa'd ibn Abi Waqqas radiallahu anhu, he said, he asked the Prophet sallallahu alayhi wa sallam, أَيُّ النَّاسِ أَشَدُّ بَلَاءً, which of the people are most severely tested? Who are the people that are most severely tested? And we can use this as a scale for ourselves. If a person is being tested severely, and they are patient with it, and they submit to it, and they accept it as a test from Allah, and are pleased with Allah's test, then that person would accept it as a sign of Allah's love. The Prophet ﷺ answered, he said, أَشَدُّ النَّاسِ بَلَاءً الأنبياء, that the most severely of the people who are tested are the prophets. ثم الأمثل فالأمثل, and then those who are nearest to them in status of closeness or nearness to Allah, in turn, those who are after the prophets would be tested, يعني, next in severity after the prophets. He said, صلى الله عليه وسلم, يبتلى الرجل على حسب دينه, that a person will be tested according to the strength of his deen. فَإِنْ كَانَ دِينُهُ صُلْبًا اشْتَدَّ بَلَاؤُهُ, so if his deen was strong, if he was a very strong person in the deen, then his tests and trials will also be accordingly severe. وَإِنْ كَانَ فِي دِينِهِ رِقَّةٌ إِبْتُلِيَ عَلَى حَسَبِ دِينِهِ, and if his deen was weak, if he was weak in the deen, then he would be tested, يعني, with a least or less severe test according to the strength of his deen. وَمَا يَبْرَحُ الْبَلَاءُ بِالْعَبْدِ حَتَّى يَتْرُكَهُ يَمْشِي عَلَى الْأَرْضِ مَا عَلَيْهِ خَطِيعًا, and the person would continue to be tested and tried by Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala until through his tests and trials his sins would be removed to such an extent that he would be walking upon the earth with no sins against him. Yani a person whom Allah loves would be tested so severely that all of their sins will be wiped away. They will be walking on the earth with no sins. This is the test and trial and the way of those whom Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala loves. The early generations of the Muslims, they understood the meaning of this statement. And they understood the perspective that a believer has towards sickness and trials and tests. And they paid careful attention and they understood what was the meaning of such a statement, that a person would be tested. They would continue to be tested until they would be walking on the earth with no sins against them. And they understood that trials, tests or calamities, that they were really a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. That sickness and hardship were glad tidings and the sign of Allah's love for that person who was tested and tried. And for this reason, one of the early scholars of the Muslims, Wahab, he passed by a man who was being tested. And that man was tested with blindness, leprosy, crippled, and having very little clothing. Here was a man who was blind, a leper, crippled, and almost no clothing. And yet, when they were passing by that man, he had a glow on his face, a brightness in his face. Not like the face of the person, like one of us, you and I. When we are sick, we are looking sad and gloomy. When people come to see us, we look like we're sick. No, he had a brightness in his face, like the person who is healthy and wealthy. That man who was with Wahab, he looked at him and heard the afflicted man saying, Alhamdulillah ala ni'mihi. Alhamdulillah ala ni'mihi. Praise be to Allah for his favors. The man said, the man who was with Wahab, he said, is there something that he has remaining with him of any blessing? Is there any blessing that he has for which he could be thankful to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for it? The afflicted man responded to him by saying, "Irmi bi basarik ila ahl al Madina." Just take a look at the people of the city, the people of this place around me. Fanzur ila akthari ahliha. Look at most of his people. Afala ahmadu Allah annahu laysa fiha ahadun ya'rifuhu ghayri. Shouldn't I praise Allah that there's no one amongst all of these people who knows Allah other than me? He didn't have health, he didn't have wealth, he didn't have anything except his relationship with Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Look at the people around me. Maybe they have health and wealth and all of the things that people consider of goodness in this world, but they didn't know Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. So he was praising Allah for the favor that he recognized. It was the favor of Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala that Allah had conferred upon him in making him to have the consciousness and awareness of this fact that he is his creator, and that these things that he has been afflicted with are only a test for him, and it is a sign of Allah's love, and it is the way that Allah tests those who are near to him. What time is it? 5:35? 5:25. Okay. There are a number of points that we want to discuss further, but time will not allow. Perhaps inshallah in the next meeting we will discuss further some of the ideas that a believer should consider, or the perspective that a believer should have concerning sickness or trials and tests, so that when we are afflicted, or those who are near to us or beloved to us, or those that we have contact with who are afflicted with sickness, so that they will have the right perspective, that we will make one another to consider these things and to know that tests and trials, it is indeed a favor from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for the one who understands it to be so. So we will stop here inshallah. In the next time we meet bi'idhnillahi ta'ala, then we will talk about the fact that tests and trials, it is the way to paradise. Yani that no one will enter paradise except through tests and trials, and that the person who is tested with sickness will have an ongoing reward, and likewise the other things that we mentioned in the introduction, that there's no way that we can suffer difficulty or hardship except that it's followed by ease. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa anta astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayk. If there are any comments or questions before the adhan, I think maybe there's just 2 or 3 minutes remaining before the adhan.